Good morning, Philip. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
So just wanted to ask you about this news yesterday. Why is the Australian Monarchist League asking these MPs that support a republic to apologise?
Because the declaration bandied about by Peter Fitzsimons, where each of the state premiers, barring Colin Barnett of Western Australia, signed a support or a declaration that Australia should be a republic, they signed them as the premiers of each state, and they had no right to do that because each of the states have not agreed that they should be a republic.
So does there need to be a universal agreement for them to express that opinion?
As premiers of the state, because it gives an official imprimatur. And the last vote for a republic indicated that none of the states were in agreement for a republic.
So you didn't have a problem with them expressing their opinion, but it's more in an official capacity that the league had a problem with it.
As in individuals, they can do what they want. As premiers of the states, they have a responsibility not to sign as premiers unless the governments have agreed, the parliaments have agreed, or the people have agreed.
Okay. A lot of noise has been made in relation to Australia becoming a republic, especially when Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister, but no major plans have been put in place. A plebiscite is a few years down the track, according to the PM. Do you think the monarchy is under threat in this country?
The monarchy is always under threat, but that doesn't mean that it is obsolete or that it should be replaced. There will always be opposition, just like there's always opposition to so many things, particularly the sorts of things that work well. But you mentioned there's a lot of noise, and that's exactly it. It's a lot of noise perpetuated by the media, and then it dies down, and nothing happens for months, and then it blows up again, and there's a lot of noise. And this is what it's been like continuously over the past 17 years.
Okay. Now, Queen Elizabeth is reaching the big milestone of turning 90 this year, and the League wants more to be done to celebrate than what is currently been organised. What would you like to see happen?
Well, we feel that the government should be taking a bigger part in organising celebrations for the Queen's 90th birthday. After all, she is our sovereign head of state, and she should be honoured, and an occasion like her 90th birthday should be appropriately recognised. No other monarch in our history has reached the age of 90. No other monarch in our history has served for longer than the Queen, and it's appropriate that we recognise these facts because we are a constitutional monarchy. We're not a republic. If we had a president and a president reached the age of 90, there would be celebrations. Why are there not celebrations for our sovereign head of state?
Yeah, on that point, the Queen being the sovereign head of state, a lot of people might ask the question, what role does the Queen actually have in Australian affairs? What would you say to that point?
Well, the Queen is head of the system of governments, a system that's worked well for well over 100 years. She is represented in this country by a Governor-General who is an Australian. The Governor-General, in essence, becomes the Queen in the country. Now, you may ask, well, why can't we just have the Governor-General and not the Queen? It's because the Prime Minister nominates the Governor-General, and the Queen appoints the Governor-General, and through that appointment, the Governor-General's allegiance moves from the person who appointed him or from anyone else and goes to the Queen and through the Queen to the people. So the Governor-General is above politics, and that's the beauty of our system.
And just one final question, Philip. I wanted to get your read on the recent flag controversy and campaign over in New Zealand. They've decided to go with or remain with the status quo. What did you make of the outcome of that?
Well, the people spoke because they preferred the existing flag with the Union Jack, because the Union Jack represents the basis of modern New Zealand, just like the Union Jack represents the basis of modern Australia, our modern culture, our modern heritage, our law, and our order. It also represents those brave pioneers who came to our countries and who created what we are today. And that's why the people of New Zealand wanted to keep the existing flag. Some may say it was because they didn't like what was on offer, but they had a plebiscite to choose what was on offer.
All right, we'll leave it there. But, Philip, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.